Hey everybody, it's Greg from Municipal World, and we're coming to you from the Vancouver Island Convention Center here in Nanaimo, British Columbia. And our guest now is Kenya Baker. Kenya is the equity and strategist and the founder of her own consultancy, Shades of Humanity. Kenya, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be here again.
How's the conference going for you so far?
Oh my gosh, wonderful. So many great insights, wonderful people, beautiful city. What else could I ask for?
It is beautiful. Maybe we could talk a little bit about your background, the journey that that you were on that led you to founding your consultancy.
Mm-hmm. So we've been in business for a couple of years now. And in terms of the journey and trajectory, my background is in psychology and social work. And so it was a very natural fit that as a person who's in the helping profession, and with the way the world is moving right now, that I would get into a deeper space where I'm supporting people, not just to look at things from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective, but from a place of humanity. And that's why Shades of Humanity. So very different trajectory for me coming from working in the international world, where for a couple of years, I supported refugees on their resettlement journey into another country and supporting their psychological needs, mm-hmm. to me immigrating to Canada and realizing that the equity issues that I was addressing through a point of power in my previous international work, mm-hmm. were the issues that I was facing as a racialized person in Canada. And so I turned the problem into hopefully creating solutions. And this is why I walk with my clients to support them to that journey of equity, through their journey of equity.
Beautiful. So what kind of work do you do in your consultancy? What kind of clients do you have?
Everyone from the sports world to government world to the not-for-profit world. I believe that the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion is for everyone. So if you are out there doing business or supporting communities, we can support you.
Great. So you're here at the Western Cities HR Conference talking as a keynote speaker. Maybe tell us a little bit about the topic of your keynote address.
Mm-hmm. Greg, I'm really excited about this particular topic because I've been thinking a lot about how now that we're in this new way of understanding what diversity, equity, inclusion, and anti-racism is post the murder of George Floyd and different movements that are gathered towards understanding sovereignty for Indigenous people, thinking about it in the workplace and how people in the workplace navigate their workplaces, I thought that maybe it would be interesting to talk about how people are attracted by an opportunity. That's what you apply to the job for. Mm-hmm. But you're actually anchored by the culture in the organization. And so I'll sort of be working through the idea of emotional tax and how people in the organization experience emotional tax, and encouraging the HR leaders to kind of be mindful around the emotional tax and the impact of emotional tax on the people that work in the organization and how they could mitigate what that looks like in the future.
Fantastic. So emotional intelligence, we talk about it from time to time, but there is a great intersection between emotional intelligence and equity and diversity.
Absolutely. It's actually the bridge between policy and people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Greg, but how often do you read your policies?
I'll say all the time.
Okay. You are the rare bird, okay?
No, I'm not telling the truth. I know I'm supposed to read it, but I perhaps haven't read it.
It's even something as small as the fine print. Fine print is also considered a policy.
You've got me on the spot here.
This is the thing. And so a lot of people don't necessarily spend too much time understanding every single thing about policy. But the one thing that they can tell you impacted them is culture. Mm-hmm. And this is where the bridge to emotional intelligence lies. It's not just understanding paper, it's also understanding practice and even just the people that you are practicing with, how they navigate these things. And so not only do we ask people to have emotional intelligence, but I think empathy is also really critical in understanding the experiences of people for people in an organization.
For sure.
Yeah.
So HR people, by definition, are interested in people, mm-hmm. but how does maybe they get into a little bit of a bubble? How can we help them sort of look beyond the bubble to focus on equity and diversity.
I think you said it really well, right? Once you focus on people and the human aspect of human resources, and I always challenge the HR people that I work with, is HR really about humans? Is it about policy or is it about protecting the organization's interest? And I believe that there has to be a balance in all those things.
For sure.
And so I usually just try and prompt people to go through these five steps, okay, if I may. And it's called the PRESS model. The PRESS model was created by Dr. Robert Livingston out of the US. And he uses this in helping people understand how to have difficult conversations on racial equity in the workplace. And that PRESS model can actually be applied to anything. It's pretty simple. The P stands for problem awareness. Are we aware of the problems in the organization? And this is where HR comes in, because as the entry and exit point into an organization, it's really critical that they should have an awareness of the problems that exist in the organization. And once we figure that out, we move over to a place called root cause analysis. What are the causes of these inequities in the organization? And once we understand those, like really getting to the concern phase of all of it, we then move to a place of empathy. Mm. And so with empathy, you're fully aware that there are problems in the organization. We need to understand how can we address these issues effectively, which will lead us to the next S, which is sacrifice. Now that we've understood all of that, what are some of the sacrifices we need to make? Are we getting rid of harmful leaders? Are we needing to change our policies to be more reflective of this current day and age? I was working with a municipality that had policies that were last updated in 1971. And that's before I was born. And so recognizing that one of the sacrifices they had to make was to get rid of some policies that were not suitable, bring them to this century, as well as understand how to consult with people while creating the policy. And then we finally have our strategy. So our strategy is the final S. And I always encourage HR leaders to see that as not just a destination, but it's a rolling destination, that we should continue to be strategic in how we deal with issues on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fair to say we were seeing a little bit of backsliding in society, particularly with our friends south of the border, but it is happening in Canada as well.
Absolutely.
What do you see?
I'm most certainly seeing a lot of recalls. I'm seeing people scaling back, shutting down DEI offices. Most recently, a pretty big municipality also exited their DEI team for financial reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cost cutting or trying to save on the increase in property taxes or taxes. It's very dangerous, Greg, because this is about human issues and humanity. Mm-hmm. And so with the backlash of DEI or the scaling back of DEI, you have a reputational risk. Mm-hmm. And now this municipality is going to be used as an example for other municipalities, for instance. And the reputation, as you can see, is not at the moment very optimal. We have financial risk too. You know, some studies have shown that consumers will continue to support companies that support diversity, equity, and inclusion and accessibility, which we should not forget to talk about as well. And as such, companies that pull back from DEI also tend to lose income revenue. As far as a municipality is concerned, there's a talent risk where you have people leaving. Mm-hmm. You have people retreating and coiling back, high levels of burnout, lots of quiet quitting and exiting in organizations. And also you'll find it really hard to get good talent to come and work for your organization if you do not front it with your values of equity in the organization. So there's quite a couple of risks associated with it. There's the legal as well, which is a big one. The legal risks are actually so strong that organizations really need to rethink why they're pulling back from their DEI efforts. High litigation instances are starting to happen. We're starting to see that as well. And then people are just not feeling like their legislated rights are protected anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's something that maybe doesn't show on the bottom line, but there is a considerable expense in recruiting people. And then if they come to an environment where they're not able to thrive, then they're going to move on. They just can't. And then the converse is true. If they're in an environment which they really enjoy and feel supported, then they're more likely to stay. So mm-hmm. I guess maybe the cost cutters don't think of things in that way. So that's where an HR professional can speak up on behalf of the organization.
Absolutely. And I feel like we need to have deeper conversations on the importance of belonging in an organization and why that also just not only bolsters morale for the people that work there, but it also makes it more productive as an organization in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the theme of this year's conference, Western Cities HR, is Excel HR. So how can equity and diversity help having that mindset help an HR professional to excel?
Hmm. That's a great question, because we need to look at excellence as not just the profit that people bring or the reputation that an organization receives, but also how we can help people grow into the best and the better version of a better version of themselves. And so the understanding of diversity, equity, inclusion, and I have to put all those together, and accessibility in making an organization excel lies in an organization's ability to really see inequities in an organization, strengths in an organization, and to pull those up. Human resources is so important because it's the entry and exit point in any organization. And so if it's a point where you can either set people up for failure or for success, and that in itself lies in what excellence would really look like in an organization.
Wow, that's a really powerful point. Akinya, are there maybe three takeaways that we can take from what you're presenting here at Western Cities this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say emotional intelligence is what turns equity from a statement to culture. I would also say that if culture eats strategy for breakfast, then equity must be the recipe.
Wow.
And finally, I would say that to excel in HR is to humanize leadership and to build cultures worth staying for.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. All three are powerful statements. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. And you've got a powerful presentation and really great food for thought for all the conference delegates here at Western Cities HR. So thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. And for everybody else, we'll see you next time on the podcast.